From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. More than 7 months after the devastating Sichuan earthquake that left almost 88,000 people dead or missing, the quake continues to claim lives, now in the form of suicides. In fact, experts there say right now could be the peak for suicide attempts among survivors. Louisa Lim investigated the trend on a recent trip to Sichuan.
Yang Jun and his wife Zhu Zhuhua were lucky to survive the deadly earthquake. Their two children, a 13-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl, were unharmed. But the disaster turned out to be just the start of their problems. Their new two-story house, which had cost $30,000 to build, was declared dangerous. They were heavily in debt and began arguing about who was to blame. Yang Jun's father, Yang Defu, says his son was traumatized by the quake.
My son was very depressed after losing his house. He wasn't in the right frame of mind to earn money, so he stayed at home and tried to recycle building materials from the house. My daughter-in-law was working as a seamstress, and she got very angry at my son for not working. Their relationship became bad. We asked the village leaders to mediate, but we all failed.
That failure had tragic consequences. Yang Defu takes us down to his son's ruined house, cracks clearly showing in the walls. It was here that on the 15th of November, the couple were found dead, huddled together in bed. Initial police investigations concluded Yang Jun had suffocated his wife, then electrocuted himself. His father, Yang Defu, knows what to blame for their deaths.
They were caused by the May 12th earthquake. Their house was lost, their hearts became fragile, they weren't happy with each other, they had conflicts.
His father, hands shaking, produces the official police report on the deaths. The verdict, accidental death. This absence of culpability actually reflects a shared sense of responsibility. Everyone had known the couple was quarreling, and they were living just behind a medical center. One neighbor, who didn't want to be named, told us she feels guilty for what happened.
On the day they died, I'd gone up to the temporary refugee camp. If I'd been here instead and heard them quarreling, I would have gone over to calm them down, and maybe this wouldn't have happened.
She washes clothes, squatting in the doorway to her house, watching over a toddler. In this settlement of 13,000 survivors, there's little work available. And most people now realize that given their huge losses, life will never be normal again. There are anecdotal reports that alcohol consumption has gone up among quake survivors. One Chinese psychologist estimates up to a quarter of earthquake victims could be suffering from depression and anxiety. As the dead couple's neighbor comments sadly, their behavior wasn't even unusual.
You know, lots of people have changed since the quake, and everyone quarrels a lot.
As reconstruction begins, there's been another worrying trend, a recent spate of deaths among officials dealing with post-quake reconstruction. One official died when an artery burst in his brain. The initial investigation blamed overwork. Two other officials recently committed suicide. One of them, Dong Yufei from Beichuan, lost his 12-year-old son in the quake. His suicide note said, "I feel too much pressure from life and work. I cannot hold on. I just want a good rest."
We can only feel sympathy over his suicide because the earthquake is over and we survived that, so what else is there to fear?
Wang Jian was a colleague in the Beichuan government office. He says 90% of his co-workers lost family members in the quake. The government has been trying to help them, he says. He's had 10 days of counseling in Beijing. But when thousands of people need rehousing and there's a new city to build from scratch, pressure is unavoidable.
The whole country is supporting us. The whole world is supporting us. And if we don't do a good job, we'll let everyone down. So that piles on the pressure.
Camping in the ruins of his house, 62-year-old Yang Defu watches his wife cooking a meal. The two are now starting over, following the murder-suicide of their son and daughter-in-law. This time, they're bringing up two young orphans, without a source of income or a proper house. But Yang Defu's biggest worry is that lessons might not be learnt from his own personal tragedy.
If people are depressed because of the quake and they don't get psychological help, more cases like this might happen.
In the refugee camps, some counselling has been offered, especially in the schools, where children saw their classmates crushed and killed under collapsed buildings. But the authorities have been overwhelmed by other urgent pressures, such as making sure people have food and shelter. And the scale of all the needs is still unimaginable. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beichuan County, China.